Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower cleared.
Roger.
Well, my dear friends from all over the world, this solar system, this galaxy and beyond, all angelic beings that are tuning in energetically, all human beings from this planet, from all continents, welcome to ET First Contact Radio. My name is Maarten Horst and with this program I bring you the latest galactic news 3 times a week. And my dear friend is my guest, his name is Ron Head, and I will give you a little introduction about Ron. He was on this radio station a month ago, and he is back again here. So, the purpose of starting the blog that Ron has is to provide a place for healers and channelers to share things they discover and want to share with the community and to post news articles we find relevant to our interest. We encourage civilized discussion, but will immediately delete any comments that attack or discredit anyone or anything posted there. Please respect, well, that's of course normally, that's a normal language is being used. But Ron is an amazing healer, and he's doing the QHHT sessions with many people. He's a mystic and a seer, and he is a very, very kind gentleman, and I'm very happy that you are here, Ron, and I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here again.
Yes, and it's feeling quite intense. If you have noticed the last couple of days, Ron, I believe behind the scenes a lot of things are going on. And I want to ask you, because you're making a trip in some states on the western side in the Rockies of the United States, and you're visiting people and giving healings. Mm-hmm. So, please tell the listeners about your trip and about your plans, what you want to accomplish and what kind of people you want to meet there, so that when people hear this interview, they can contact you and maybe meet you on the way.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. The purpose of the trip, in a way, is that in July, Dolores Cannon's group, unfortunately she has passed away, but Julia is still running the operation. Dolores Cannon's group meets for a QHHT practitioners reunion, which will be the 16th of July this year. And then there is immediately following that a what they call the Transformation Conference with speakers and with next door to that, concurrently with it, there are book sales and crystals and all of the things you expect to see at that sort of a, call it a fair. And it is just a marvelous amount of fun. And when they named it the Transformation Conference, believe me, they did a good job naming it. Now, since that is a 3 to 4 day trip, even if you do nothing but drive straight through from here to Arkansas, I will be stopping along the way with different people who have requested that they have their own QHHT or hypnosis session. And, you know, to all that means is that for every additional person that needs a session along the way, I have to leave where I am 1 day earlier. Not a problem. Then when I leave there, I'm driving back up to Des Moines, Iowa, where I was living a year or so ago, visit some friends, and then from there back out to Jackson, Wyoming, where there are already some people scheduled for hypnosis sessions, and just to visit with my good friend Annette and her mother, and then back here to Bend, Oregon. So it's a big loop, and there should be some very interesting things happen in those sessions. Doing QHHT is like going to work in Disney World. You never know where you're going to go that day once that person, you know, gets into their hypnosis session. It's amazing.
Yes, and in the last interview, you have explained what QHHT means. And, I would love to hear what kind of secrets and beautiful insights are popping up. Is there specific information regarding past lives on other planets
from there people?
Absolutely.
I have had a few instances of that. Of course, we have a forum, and we pretty much stay up with what's going on around the world with the quantum healing hypnosis. And past lives in other worlds is very common. Past lives, or let's not say that, let's say experiences between lives is also very common. And when I say between lives, I mean, that's what we think of as lives. There's really, you only have one life. It's where you spend it. So.
Exactly. Yeah. We call that the spheres. When you are incarnate in a physical body, right. We call it experience a life. Mm-hmm. But your soul is conscious and aware between those lives when you are in the so-called spheres. Deciding what else you want to learn and where you want to incarnate and learn lessons.
Yes. It's very common for, I would say, probably a usual practice that when a person has experienced one life under hypnosis and gone through to the end of it, then we ask them, do you want to explore where you are now or do you want to go on to another lifetime? And let them choose, or let their higher self choose what they want to do next. Dolores started doing that many years ago, and it's sometimes very, very beautiful thing to experience being there in the room with someone who's telling you what it was like between their lives.
Indeed, and I expect I feel that in the spheres around the Earth, in the energies, there are things going on that are very interesting. Especially now, the last couple of days have been very intense for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Can you shed any light on what you feel is happening energetically, Ron?
Well, I'm like you, Martin. I'm sitting here in a body experiencing it. So, and I agree with you. It's getting pretty interesting and intense at times. Different. Everybody experiences this sort of thing in a different way. Some people have a very painful time going through this. Other people, I just say for myself, the physical feeling of what I'm getting is just delicious. It's wonderful. Sometimes I don't want to get it up in the morning because I wake up and I have this current running through me that's just marvelous, and I don't want to move.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, so everybody, some people call it feeling like their blood is an Alka-Seltzer bubble. You know, I'll have to say that's pretty close. That sounds but you know, everybody's experiencing in a different way, and I'm getting emails and private messages and things from people who are having all sorts of experiences that are rather out of the ordinary for themselves, even though someone else might have lived there. Let's say live their entire life, for instance, seeing energy around people. For other people, they notice that and they think, "Whoa, what's going on? I never saw that before." You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's getting to be a fun ride, isn't it?
Very much so. I have the feeling that things are turning out to be more positive as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I notice because I'm retired, so I spend a lot of time every day on my computer. And
so I
notice things that, you know, little news stories, little posts on some of the what we call alternate media, which you can read two ways. You can say, oh, that's terrible. And you can also say, well, you know, that has to happen before X, Y, and Z can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking what I'm seeing as very, very positive. And I'm told when I'm channeling that that is what it is. It's very, very positive. So, you know, there are people that'll interpret things according to their worldview. What else do they have to interpret it by? They, you know, if you think that your world is entirely negative and you read one of those posts, you'll think, oh God, here it comes again, you know. But Michael told us, or told me in channeling a long time ago, that no matter what happens, there are going to be people who try to convince you that the sky is falling and the world is coming to an end, you know, and that's not what's happening.
Not at all. We are in fact reaching for the golden age, and I also feel that it's taking form and shape right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron, can you describe how you see the golden age unfolding? I mean, in pictures, how you see it, how you see the world and the oceans and the people being happy. Because if I imagine it, I see clean oceans, abundance, happy people, living in harmony. How do you see it?
I would say that I see it exactly the way you describe it. The way I feel it is just an almost unimaginable feeling of freedom. When you think about how much of your life is spent having to do things this way, having to do things that way, that society has put you in this box, your schooling has put you in that box, your beliefs has put you in a third box, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when we begin to find out who we really are and what is really required of us, it will be so freeing that we can't even imagine it yet. That's the way I feel about it. Because the only requirement we really have is to be kind and helpful.
Indeed.
There's nothing else that is required of us, at least not according to anything that I've ever read anywhere. Not saying how other people interpret it, but all I see is that golden rule there, do unto others.
You know, Ron, I can confirm this because as of lately, I have somehow changed, well, not, yes, my behavior towards my environment. Mm-hmm. I became much more loving and kind and positive.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like I have an amazing strength that whenever people are stressed around me, that I can somehow take away their stress.
Mm-hmm.
And making a joke on the right moment, being kind, and this is bearing fruit. Have you noticed similar experiences?
I have. I feel exactly the same way myself, Martin, and I see it around me also. Of course, you know, I'm living here in Oregon with two fantastic people. I don't know if you're aware of Rick Windsor and Alexis Windsor. But,
my dear friends, yes.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm sharing a home with them, so.
That's fantastic.
Isn't it?
Well, say hello to Rick and, they are so sweet. They are so sweet. And the pictures they put on Facebook are just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, this is a wonderful place, this area where we're living. The deer come right up to the back door.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must tell you that Rick and his wife are radiating a very positive energy. Whenever I see a picture, there's so much love and positivity radiating from their aura. It's amazing.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm very, very happy to hear that. Well, I have had an interview last year with a German lady, Annabel Kohlmeier, about creating a starseed center or a center or centers in the world, multiple mm-hmm. centers where people can live together in a community, grow organic food, be in nature, and share massage, healings, readings, dance, laughter. You name it.
You know, Martin, I saw in South Florida when I was living there a little community called, the name just escapes me. But anyway, it's an ex-train depot, and there are still some buildings there from almost 80 years ago now. And it has been developed at Cawley Square, it's called, and it's been developed into a little community of shops and restaurants and stuff like that. And when I saw it, I thought, gee, what a wonderful place to have a gathering, you know, instead of shops, of having massage therapists and acupuncturists and Reiki healers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And use the old train station for speakers and films and things like that, classes. And I discovered when I left Miami and began traveling across the country and talking to people all over that the same sort of idea as you just expressed and that I had years ago in Miami is everywhere. Everyone is imagining these same centers with little variations that they've come up with. But, and I take that as, call it a subconscious forecast of what we're going to be doing. why would we all have the same ideas? I mean, it just sounds wonderful to me.
Yes, it seems that people have ideas all around the world, awakened people, or starseeds, or indigos,
mm-hmm.
awakened people, and because of those synchronicities, people come up with similar ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when thousands of years ago, the wheel was invented.
Mm-hmm.
Not only by the Chinese, but also by the Greek, by the Mesopotamians, by the Incas, the Mayans, and it all came up simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening in a much faster pace right now with the ascension process going on. So positive ideas are blossoming and are coming to fruition right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be so happy to meet you one day, Ron. I think you and me can have a really amazing exchange of ideas and positivity and energy, but also with Rick and many other people that are on Facebook.
Yeah.
That I have never met physically, but I feel are close to me because we are all contributing to a better world. And there are so many beautiful people around, and I feel so blessed to be part of this community. All those loving people, and there's so much awakening going on. And I also see that people that previously, about a year ago, you might have thought, well, those people will never see the light. Mm. They're starting to ask questions to me, and they've become curious, and it's amazing.
You know, along that line, and speaking from the four, also the QHHT practitioners and their forum, mm-hmm. what we have been telling each other for the last year or so, it's becoming very common. Leading physicists are requesting QHHT sessions. Government scientists are requesting. Businessmen.
Wow.
And not just necessarily the guy on the corner running a tire store, but somebody in Hong Kong who is rich enough to fly all the way to the United States for his session. These are not people you would think of. These are not your normal, everyday, star seeds and light workers. And, you know, you would not expect these people. And mm-hmm. and then they come into their sessions, and lo and behold, when you start interviewing them, their experiences are not that different from yours and mine. Mm-hmm. They just don't talk about it. And so many people we're finding now, not just these people, but so many people have had these experiences all their lives and didn't dare talk about it, didn't dare mention it, thought that they were alone and isolated and that they couldn't say anything about this because they'd be, you know, ridiculed and ostracized and laughed at. And come to find out nowadays, that's not true anymore. It's becoming much more common to sit in a restaurant, for instance, and overhear a conversation of two friends discovering that, let's say, for instance, that they both had lucid dreams, or they both had out-of-body experiences, or, oh, that never happened to me, but I saw this once, or, you know, it's just becoming much more common. Well, talking about it is becoming much more common. I don't know that it was ever that uncommon to begin with.
Well, I also think that people in general have become more open and less shameful because the environment and the energies are allowing people to be open and to share their thoughts, share their feelings, share their experiences.
Yes.
50 years ago, it was unusual to talk about your emotions. And now people do. And I think this has to do with the energies coming in from the photon belt and the ascension process. And there's just so much laughter on the street when I walk here in the little city called Middelburg. When I'm here to do some shopping, I feel that people are smiling. And I also have the idea, Ron, that more and more people are abandoning mainstream media. More and more people are even not watching television. They just sit together at the kitchen table or at the fireplace, play some music and talk about memories from holidays and other things. I think this is what I feel and see around me, and I feel it's happening worldwide.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think mainstream media might be becoming a misnomer, because I don't know how main it is anymore.
Yeah, the repetition of the same commercials every 5 minutes and the same repeated messages over and over again. Well, mm-hmm. I think because of the energies, people are starting to see, hey, this is repetition. This is happening every hour. Because maybe a few years before this time, when people were watching CNN, they were hypnotized and not thinking, not conscious of what they were seeing. And they were not realizing that it was all repetitious. Mm-hmm. But now people are starting to think, because their consciousness and their intelligence is increased by the ascension process. And they see, hey, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And something, you know, being a hypnotist, you recognize something that most people don't recognize. And that is, when you're sitting in front of that, what do they call it? The one-eyed God, the television set.
Yeah.
And you're staring at it for you know, half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. For a great deal of that time, you are in a mild case of hypnosis.
Yes.
They're dumping into your mind whatever they want to dump in there. And you've basically, by sitting down, putting the plate of popcorn in your lap and putting your attention on that tube, you're basically saying, okay, tell me what I believe today.
Yes. And by the way, I have read a long time ago a research. Now, scientists say that we use an average of 10% of our brain. I believe it's more. But when you watch television, you use only 1%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the biggest problems of people have when they want to have a hypnosis session is the preconceived idea that they are turning control over to the hypnotist, which, by the way, is not the case. You are never giving control over to someone else when you have a hypnosis session. You can sit up and open your eyes anytime you feel like it. And almost always, and I will not say always, but more than 95% of the time, you are aware of what's going on. There is a somnambulistic state in which you can wake up and not know what was going on, which is why we provide recordings of the session. But when you sit down in front of that boob tube, they call it in the States, and you turn your attention over to it, and you allow this data dump to begin coming into your mind, are you not allowing control to go over to somebody else? I mean, you sure it's great to object and say, oh, no, I analyze all this stuff. How many people do? You know, I stopped watching it more than 25 years ago. But I know people who just accept whatever their favorite station tells them as gospel truth. And if you don't believe it, then you're, what are you, nuts? You know, you must be crazy. You must be one of those conspiracy theorists. You know, that's a favorite label. I love being a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, me too. By the way, being a conspiracy theorist is, how is it called? Questioning the lies. No. Yeah. Questioning lies. No. Questioning the authority of known liars or something.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. There are some beautiful quotes somewhere, sometimes on Facebook from people that are, people are making the most interesting eye openers.
Yeah.
Especially lately. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
So, we are now in April, and it's amazing how fast the time goes.
Mm-hmm.
Time flies like an arrow and fruit flies like a banana. I heard a professor from San Francisco State University say that one time. He's a friend of mine, and he saw it on the blackboard. It was written down by an unknown author. Fruit flies like a banana. No. Yes. Time flies like an arrow, and fruit flies like a banana.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Ron, do you know what somebody who is agnostic, dyslexic, and insomniac, what is he doing? So he's agnostic, dyslexic, and insomniac.
Hmm. Okay. I saw that too, but I forget it. So you're going to have to tell me.
I will give you the answer. He's laying awake all night, asking himself whether or not there is a dog. You know, Ron, I believe that it's also time for laughter on the radio show I do, ET First Contact Radio on BBS. I'm very happy to be part of BBS and Finding Voices Radio. But listen, I think things are smoothing out, and I think that we have to stay active to inform the public. But at the same time, I think we can relax and be happy because things are changing in a positive way.
Yes.
And humor is so important, and laughter.
Well, yes? I don't remember who it was. I'm not one of those people who has an eidetic memory. But there was a doctor in California who was diagnosed with terminal cancer and who used humor and comedy films and things like that to laugh himself back into good health.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, what is it they say? Laughter is the best medicine?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes. So the Astar Command, the spiritual hierarchy, the Council, the Guardians of Inner Earth, the Galactic Federation of Light, the Angels, the Archangels, our spiritual guides, and us as humanity. I think we are now so much stronger and loving than the Dark Cabal wants us to be, and I believe that we are on the cusp of enormous change where they will realize that they cannot go on this way. And that's what I feel. And what I see happening is that there's so much disclosure, so many disclosures about pedophilia and other things. So many things are coming to the surface that there's no stopping about it. And I think very soon, I believe, there will be some major announcements.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You know, we've been told this now for literally years, that these changes were happening, and
yes.
And every time someone really talks about it, there is a call it a little backwash of people saying, "But nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening." What we talked last time about Suzanne Spooner and all the hypnosis sessions that I had with her, her as the hypnotist and me as the subject. And some of the things we found out during those sessions were that the changes that they were talking about were not something that was going to happen in the future. They were talking about changes that were happening in the present at that time and now also. But the thing is that when we look outside of ourselves and we see this happening over here on the left and that happening over there on the right and something else happening in Great Britain and something else happening in the Middle East, those are reflections of the inner life or the consciousness of humanity. It's not being done to us by some God with a hammer and a sickle and a spear and a whatever sitting on a cloud, you know, running the world. No. We did all this. And so the changes have to start in the same place that those conditions started. The changes have to start and did start and are continuing inside of ourselves. And when a certain tipping point, call it, is reached in our consciousness, then those changes are manifested outside of us. And so when we start to see things now getting better, guess where the cause of that is? It's inside of us.
Yes. Yes, and so, we don't have this disappointment in our consciousness and in emotions anymore when something doesn't happen, like with the blood moon. We are not disappointed anymore because we know it's going to happen and it is happening.
Yes.
Because the energies are so much more intense and strong and we feel so much more positive that it is inevitable that it will happen. And I think all light workers are confident now that it is a process that is unfolding as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, you could see it in a graphical curve where this line is going up and it's going steeper and steeper until it's going vertical.
Yes. Yes. And then eventually it's just going to, or think of it as a pool of water. Eventually it's just going to spill over the side.
Yeah. Yes. Ron, my friend, I want to ask you, could you give the listeners a little present? We could do it together, but could you, in the time we have left, do a little guided meditation and a healing session?
Ooh.
Is that a good idea? Are you prepared for that?
Well, had not had not thought of it at all. Healing sessions are, okay, you remember what we can do what we did last time. You remember the last time we asked for a download of Creator's unconditional love and energy and light for yes. everyone who was listening.
Yes.
Okay.
We can do it like, we can speak it out like a prayer. Like, we can ask affirmations for the world. I will just say.
Are you familiar with a book by Greg Braden called The Lost Art of Prayer?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so when you say we can do it like a prayer, the lost art of prayer is actually, as opposed to us nowadays thinking that we get on our knees and we beg God for something, the lost art of prayer is harnessing our minds and Creator's energy and basically telling it what to do. Mm-hmm. It's very, very hard for somebody who is trained in theta healing, as I am, to learn to do that, because we think, I can't tell God what to do. Whereas, and I know you're familiar with Neil Donald Walsh.
Yes. Yes.
And this whole line of thinking is, you know, God is here. Tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I do. I actually, when I was a child, I was always praying in that, exactly in the way that you describe it. And in the last couple of months, I started to pray again, and very intense, before I go to sleep. For example, last night I said to God, Dear Prime Creator, Father, Mother, God, Creator of all life in the universe, please be with us, heal us and help us, give us strength and joy, and be with my mother, my father, my sister, give them a good health and a happy spirit, be with my friend Kevin, be with, well, all the, I think about many people in the prayer, but then I think about, I go by every continent, put a blanket of love around Africa, put a blanket of love around South America, put a blanket of love around Oceania, put a blanket of love around Asia, put a blanket of love around Europe, put a blanket of love around North America, and then put a blanket of love around the whole planet. And let the people all over in every village and city be healed and give them insight, give them the intelligence to understand what is going on, give them the intelligence and the capacity to understand the bigger picture. Let us all forgive and let us all evolve. Let us all come together and be unified with the love of the creative force of the universe. That's how I pray.
Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. Thank you. What I can do is, and I'll tell you, in order for what I'm going to do to be effective, I have to actually set it up while I am in a theta brainwave state. Mm-hmm. For me just to, and if I'm talking, I'm not in a theta brainwave state.
No.
So what I'll do is I'll explain what I'm going to do, and then I'll go quiet for a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come back, I you'll know it's done. What I'm going to do is set up what we theta healers call a download.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell Creator to make available a download of Creator's unconditional love and light to anyone and everyone who is listening. and who opens themselves up and says in their heart, yes. Okay? So then when I come back, and I'll tell you when I'm back, well, I'm not really going anywhere, okay? spiritually, I'm going to what we call the seventh plane of existence, which is where the only consciousness there is the creator of all that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I will set up this download, and then I will come back here to my chair, and I will say the download is available, and anyone who wishes may access it by just closing their eyes, opening their hearts, and saying yes. Does that sound good?
It sounds good. It's just that I want to remind you that we have until 5 minutes before the top of the hour, then we have to close up.
Oh, well, this will take like 1 minute or 2 minutes.
Okay, okay.
Right. I'll be right back. Okay.
All right.
Okay, there is now a download set up from the creator of all that is to every listener who opens their heart and says yes at any time now or if they listen to this in the future. And those who normally experience energy as a physical feeling, and I know there are quite a few, you may be amazed at what you feel when you ask for that.
Mm.
So see, that didn't take all that long.
No, not at all.
See? It's not like we have to go somewhere else to talk to God, Martin. He's sitting here listening to every thought we have and every feeling we have. So.
Inside us, around us, everywhere, anywhere, eternally in the now, past, future, omnipresent, omnipresent.
Yep.
And we are eternal, part of everything that is. Infinite consciousness.
Yes. As is the chairs we're sitting in, and the floor we're walking on, and everything else.
Yeah. I can see God in a crushed up beer can.
Mm-hmm.
I can see God in an ant. I can see God in a computer.
And the world we were talking about before is when we all see God in the person that's standing in front of us.
Yes. Especially, yes. Somehow, I don't judge people anymore. I must tell you, as a light worker, I noticed that I was sometimes still having negative thoughts about other people. And then, really, I mean the people that are very negative and complaining and even aggressive. But then, some time ago, it was so amazing to see that every soul is part of the all and the one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I sent love to those people, love and healing. And I smile at them. And I see when I give them love, and anyone gives them love, they start to become softer and to evolve and to feel. And to evolve.
When you do that, and when you see the divine part of that person. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that they're not doing something that we have to condone. They may not be. But there's still a spark of divinity in there. And when you see that spark, and when you send them love, you're giving them permission to be the divine self that they are.
Exactly. And energy flows where attention goes. That is the golden rule.
Yes.
I want to close off with a beautiful story. And it's actually addressed at the Cabal. Now, many people have seen Star Trek. And a month ago, Leonard Nimoy has passed away. Mr. Spock. So in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, the Enterprise is almost destroyed, and Spock saved the Enterprise by going into the engine room, being exposed to high levels of radiation. Now he is on one side of the radiation blocking glass, and on the other side is Captain Kirk. Now Spock is already in a very deteriorated state, and he says to Kirk, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. I always have been and always will be your friend." And then he puts the fingers like the Spock greeting, the Vulcan greeting, and slowly dies. And the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. It means that the many, humanity, the animals, all life on Earth, the importance of us to thrive and to be successful and happy outweighs the need to continue to use fossil fuels and pollute the Earth with chemicals, to pollute our food with chemicals, and to use fiat money and create money out of thin air, where people have to work to pay their mortgage every month, to pay their fuel, their car, which is polluting and destroying our ecosystem. And that is the need of the few. And the many is 7 billion people. And we outweigh this by far. And now, with this knowledge, I want to instruct Prime Creator, Father, Mother, God, the One, that this unbalanced situation, the many and the few, and I want to ask Prime Creator to look at this unbalance and to restore the balance, because in nature, the force of nature is always seeking balance. And this situation is so much unbalanced that I want to ask Prime Creator to intervene by using the Galactic Federation of Worlds and the spiritual hierarchy and all the forces of nature, the Deva Kingdom, etc., to make this change together with humanity and to help more and more human beings to awake. So, Ron, can you please tell the listeners where they can reach you?
Sure. I have a blog and also a QHHT website. The blog is oraclesandhealers.wordpress.com. There's also a corresponding Oracles and Healers Facebook page. And the website is ronheadqhht.com, and it also has a corresponding Facebook page for people who find it easier through Facebook. And that has all the contact information they may need to reach me. So we have what? My screen says we have 90 seconds left.
That is true. So what do you think about my closing comment I just made about the needs of the many and the needs of the few?
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
I think this is an instruction giving to Creator that intervention is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, my dear friends, for listening. Thank you. And love and light to all. And I will be back next week with another interesting guest. And I want to thank you, Ron, for being here. And so much love and light and hugs to you and Rick and his wife and all the beautiful people that are listening. Namaste.